Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can you say amen? Say amen. You know, I have to commend the choir. They did an awesome job. We've been doing some tweaking this morning. You know, after Spirit Fest, I had a good time at Spirit Fest, and I'm glad it's finished so we can focus on the church and getting the things in order and growing our church. It's time to grow our church. Anybody want to see our church grow? Do you want to participate in the growth of our church? Next week, you're going to have some postcards with our logo on it. You're going to have where the website is, where you can pass them out and say, check us out on website or check us out or wherever we're on. I don't know all the technology stuff. Hallelujah. I know there's all different things now. Hallelujah. I'm maturing, Marissa. Don't say I'm too old and understand that. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands this morning and say, Lord, I love you. I worship you. I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, this morning, you can see on the bulletin, please pick up a bulletin. There's some good stuff. I forgot where I put mine, probably under my Bible. But there's a word in there from the Elijah list. And one of the things I mentioned to you is I look on the Elijah list and the prophetic words that are given from all over the nation and all over the world. And I usually look at all the different words. And I look at the word that is for us as a church. And as I read this passage of this word, I noticed it confirmed what the Lord was doing in our church about signs and wonders. And about one of the things, I just believe God is a God of order. Do you understand that? He's a God of order. I appreciate you, Pat, getting the choir ready to go and sing. And God is a God of order. Is anybody wanting order in their life? You know, I don't like chaos. And for God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. Can you say amen? And through Spirit Fest, I had every kind of opportunity, as always. Whenever you're going to put on a special event, you better be prayed up. When God's doing a new thing in your life and he's taking you to higher levels, you better be prayed up. Because the devil comes to come and mess us up. He comes to distract us and I told my story last Sunday, but one of the things I realized is the Holy Spirit is our problem solver. Do you know that? He will help you solve your problems. And he did that from one thing to the next. He helped me solve my problems. But anyway, if you'll turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 5, we're talking about breaking bad habits. And you're probably thinking, oh, great, Pastor Tony is going to get into my business. He's going to read my email. I'm not even quoting it right? Teenagers are probably going, Pastor Tony, you need to get into the signs of the times. But you know, it's about breaking bad habits. And the scriptures show us about bad habits and how they're formed. And habits, when I looked it up in the dictionary, it says habit, a usual way of behaving. Well, that's just the way I've always done it. Well, you know what? It may be how you've always done it, but maybe God is wanting to do a new thing. He wants to see increase in your life. He wants to see joy in your life. He wants to see peace in your life. If he wants to see those things, then I want to see those things. Can you say amen? So I'm in a place right now that, God, whatever bad habits need to be broken in my life, I want to break those bad habits. And you know, bad habits isn't like, oh, you go out and you do the worst sin ever. You know, I talk about myself all the time. And right now the Lord is dealing with me about my driving. And the reason why is because I'm in a hurry to get to my location because I'm busy. And the Lord says, you need to slow down. You need to prepare ahead of time. Don't wait until the morning to prepare for your day. But begin to prepare the day before, the night before. Start thinking about how your day could be. You know, think about it. There could be a rainstorm that hits tomorrow morning, if God forbid, because we've already had that. We need some dry weather, and all this week it's supposed to be dry. Thank you, Lord. This morning when I woke up and saw the sun out, I said, praise the Lord. Because for the last month, we have had storms on Saturday night going on Sunday morning. So anyway, we're going to break some bad habits. Are you with me today? You want to break some bad habits? And you know what? To break bad habits isn't say, oh, I'm going to stop doing this. That's the fruit of getting to the root of it. Why do we have bad habits? Where do they start? And how do we break those? We break them with the power of the Holy Spirit. So a habit means a usual way of behaving, something that a person does often in a regular and repeated way. Are you with me today? Are you going to get mad at me today? It's going to be good. It's not going to be condemning. I've learned to minister the word of encouragement because it's the Holy Spirit that reveals those areas that we need to work on. Now, I'm going to be the messenger, and I'm going to bring the word of God to you this morning, and I'm going to allow the word to show you how to break bad habits. Can you say amen? Say increase. Say, I want increase. So, Lord, here I am to break bad habits. Hallelujah. Let me get there in Exodus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Exodus 5, verse 1. I'm almost there. It says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went up to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I got to stop there. Aaron and Moses went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord has said. If I don't say anything anymore, anything else, I want you to get that. You need to hear the word of the Lord. Before you can go up to somebody, you better make sure that it's the Lord saying, say this. Now, I'm going to give you some teaching this morning. The Lord isn't going to show you something about Pastor Jan unless he has shown her about it. It's not the Holy Spirit's responsibility to come to Ricky and say, oh, Pastor Jan, the Lord told me to tell you, you need to stop da 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 da. No, you know, you may give a word, hey, Pastor Jan, I'm just feeling like the Lord wants you to have peace. And so the Holy Spirit ministers to her about how to get the peace. It's not our job. It's not my job to get in your business. Can you say amen? I thought that you'd get a smile out of that. My job is to be a messenger. My job and your job is to be a light. And when somebody's out there messing up in the world and sinning, and you want to go get in their business and say, you know what, you need to stop this. Now, if it's your children, that's one thing. Right, parents? We can get into our children's business. Amen. I knew that I'd get an amen from a mom back there. But the Holy Spirit lives in you, Doris, lives in you, Josie, lives in you, Jeffrey, lives in you, Fabian, lives in you, and you, and you, and you. He is the Spirit of truth. And so when I'm ministering the word today about breaking bad habits, I'm not going to talk about your business or my business. I'm going to bring scripture so that he can reveal how to live more victorious, how to let go of some things. I want the new things. I want the now things. I want the glorious things of the Lord. How about you? Hallelujah. Amen. He says, let me go back here. I had to turn a page in a minute. It says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert. So the only way Moses and Aaron could ever go into the presence of Pharaoh is because the Lord told them to go to Pharaoh. Because I'm telling you, it would have been very dangerous for somebody to go into the presence of Pharaoh, somebody in that high rank, you know, and say, let God's people go. Let all those slaves go, let those people go. That would have been instant beheading, death, whatever it would have been. It would have been instant. But Moses and Aaron heard a word of the Lord, and the Lord went before them, and he prepared a way. See, if I don't know about you, but I know about you. I want to see instant victory. I want to see when the Lord says he's going to do this, I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen now. I thank you that it might take a couple days, it might take a couple months, but 30 years later, something is wrong if I haven't seen the evidence of what God has said. Can you say amen? Now, we talked about signs and wonders, that we are signs and wonders at Spirit Fest. And the reason for the signs and wonders, as Jesus performed signs and wonders, is so that those around him would believe in God. Can you say amen? So we need to be living with signs and wonders in our lives so that people shall believe. Yesterday we had a memorial. I don't know if you remember John. John helped us out back there in the sound a few years ago, him and his family came to church and he passed away. And before he passed away, he had to have a hand amputated. Then he had to have another hand amputated. Then he had to have a foot amputated and then a leg amputated. And then it was just, you know what? I have to say that is not a living a productive life. And so yesterday, his father got up and shared at the very end of the service, and it was so powerful. He talked about John being adopted, how him and his wife adopted John. And he went on to say, you know what? When it was all said and done, he says, his death was a blessing. And you're probably going, wow. It was a blessing. To live a torturous, going through one amputation after another, it didn't have anything to do with the lack of faith, but his father said it was a blessing because I know where he is today. He is in the presence of the Lord. He is whole. He is not going through those things that he's gone through all of his life, but he has finally came to the place of peace that he's never experienced before. For a dad to say that, I commend him to say, you know what, I'm going to miss him and I love him, but he is in a better place and I don't want to be selfish. I want to thank the Lord for taking him home because now he's with you, Lord. Now, is that the attitude that we should have? You know what? We should be proactive before circumstances and situations come our way. Can you say amen? So when something comes our way, we need to come against it right away in Jesus' name so we can see it instantly change. Can you say amen? So going on. So Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, and he may strike us, our Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? The devil doesn't like to let you go, does he? The devil doesn't want you to break bad habits because you know what? We are still in bondage. We're still held captive. We're still going, God, I need a breakthrough. God, I want to be farther than I am. God, I want to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I want to just, Lord. And the enemy is saying, no, I'm not going to let you go. That's when you got to say, Lord, I thank you that you've given me a word to speak to my circumstances and situations. Holy Spirit, you are the problem solver. So you are showing me how to walk this out. Well, I'm dealing with sickness. Well, I need to go into the Bible and I need to look for scripture about healing and not just read them. I need to write them down and then I need to plant them all over. Get some what are those notes? Write them down. Put them in your car. Put them in your house. Put them in your bathroom where you're reading those scriptures and saying, I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. I'm healed. Maybe you're about to lose your house or something financially. Look for the prosperous scriptures. Write them down and start declaring them. I shall prosper. God has a plan for my life. A good future, Jeremiah 29:11. Look for the word and declare it. And the devil will hear the word and he'll flee. If you just keep on keeping on and not saying, oh, it must be the way it's got to be. No, it is not the way it should be. God's word says you are more than a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail. You are victorious. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Do you believe that? The more you say it, the more you're going to believe it because you're more apt to believe what you say than others say. So you've got to get a revelation of what God's word says and declare it. Going on. Thank you, Lord. He says, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is what they are crying out, or why they're crying out. Let us go and sacrifice to our God, make the work harder for men, so that they keep working and pay no attention to those lies. That's why the devil wants you to keep on keeping on and being distracted, because you know what? You're more apt to just keep doing. I want to change directions. I want to see victory. I want to see change. Can you say amen? So going on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Then the slave drivers and the foremen went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says. I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all. You know what? Right before your victory, the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard. That's when you need to know you are about to get your victory, when all hell breaks loose, when it seems like, Lord, the more I do good, the more I come under attack. That means you're headed in the right direction. You're breaking bad habits because something is about to change. The floodgates of heaven are about to open up over your life because you have made a decision. Through hell and high waters, I am going to push through. I'm going to get to that higher land. I'm going to get to that higher ground. I'm going to get to my victory. I'm going to get to my finish line. I'm going to get there, and no devil is going to stop me, because he has already been defeated, because Jesus went to the cross and he gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Start binding the enemy up. Start loosing the glory. Start loosing the blessing. You don't have to stick around and take it anymore. You are a child of the Most High God. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Start looking for your victory. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So in verse 12, it says, so the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw. The Israelite foremen appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers were beaten and were asked, why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today or before? Then the Israelite foremen went and appealed to Pharaoh, why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh said, lazy. That what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite foremen realized that they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. And then the Lord said to Moses, see, I love it when God speaks. He says, you might be going through something. Maybe you're trying to break through and break out, and it seems like it's just getting harder. But the Lord speaks, something happens. When the Lord says, something happens. And right here, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. because of my mighty hand. He will let them go because of my mighty hand. He will drive them out of his country. God is setting the pace. God is setting the road. God is setting them up for a victory, a breakthrough. Can you say amen? Turn to Exodus 14 as you're turning there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Exodus 14, verse 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It goes on to say that as the day came where Pharaoh let the people go and they were leaving Egypt, and they came to a place of the Red Sea. And as the Israelites were let go, Pharaoh decided, wait a second, there goes our help. We got to go after our people. We got to go after the people. See, when you get set free of something, the enemy tries to come at you, but you need to know that God will fight your battle for you. God will cause victory to take place. Excuse me. It says, as Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. You know what? They were used to being in bondage and being in slavery. That's what they were used to. And they thought it was safer to be in that place. See, the Lord wants you to break some bad habits because he's got something better for us. And it's because we're used to those bad habits and they're comfortable. And then when we start to get out of those bad habits, the devil comes at us like a flood and he starts bombarding us. But our trust is in the Lord to know that the Lord has something better for us. Do you want something better of the Lord? Is anybody seeking something better of the Lord? Say, I'm looking for something better, and I'm willing to let my stuff go. Can you say amen? Old habits I'm breaking by the power of the Holy Spirit because God's got something better. Can you say amen? Say, God's got something better. See, the Israelites were in bondage for over 400 years. That was normal for them. You know, from generation after generation, that was normal for them. Do you remember when they came out and Moses went up on the mountain, and when he came down, they built a golden calf? Why? It's because that's what they did before. And God was bringing them out of worshiping idols into worshiping him. And that's why he was bringing them out of Egypt, his people, because he wanted them to begin to worship him and to look to him for provision. And so the golden calf was normal. They went back to what seemed normal, but God was bringing them out. But one of the reasons God brought them out is it said he heard their cry. He heard their cry. Their cry was they were in bondage and they were being beaten and they lived in captivity, but they cried out. There was a cry going out. And maybe you're going through something and you don't know what it is, but God hears a cry in your spirit. There's a cry going out. Lord, I need help. I need a breakthrough. God wants me to tell you today, he's heard your cry. And today, he's going to go to work on your behalf. And he says, follow me out of that stuff, and I will lead you into that place that I have intended for you, a purpose, a spot for you. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So in verse 13, it says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you. When? Today. Is anybody with me today? Today. You need a breakthrough today. You don't need it tomorrow. You need it today. The Lord was saying to them, hold on, stand firm, don't give up. You made the first step. You left Egypt. You left behind that, and you've been traveling. Some of you are on a journey, and the Lord says, hold on, stand firm, and you're going to see the deliverance of the Lord. Don't give up. He's got a plan. He's leading you and guiding us to that mighty place of victory. Can you say amen? It says, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. I like that. Your enemy that you see today, you will never see again. Anybody with me today? That enemy, that stuff you've been going through, that you have seen, it's been in your face, it's been in your life, it seems like you can't shake it. Well, receive the word of the Lord today. That enemy that you see today, you will never see again. And when he wants to rise himself up, you can say, I don't know who you are, because I have been delivered from whoever you are, because the Lord says, the enemy that I see today, I will never see again. I'm going to believe the word of the Lord that today is a day of your victory. Today is a day of your breakthrough. Can you say amen? The Lord will fight for you. Thank you, Lord. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea. I love God gives direction. What are you waiting for? Maybe this is a word for somebody here. What are you waiting for? 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 Well, I'm waiting for the Lord. The Lord's going to deliver me out of this. Maybe the Lord's saying, get up. Shake the dust off, get off the couch, get out of your house, go walk around your house. If you're depressed, get up, get out of your house, walk around. Show the devil that you are victorious. Show him that you are in charge and not him. Can you say amen? So he gives Moses instructions. He says, why are you crying out? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. When I gain glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen, hallelujah, your enemy, the Lord is going to get glory because of your enemies, because he's going to bring them down. If you have faith in God, you trust God, God is going to deliver you out of your enemy's hands. Can you say amen? Maybe you're dealing with diabetes. You know what you need to do? You need to say, wait a second, that's part of the curse. It's come down from generation to generation. I'm declaring right now that enemy that I see today, I'm never going to see anymore, because my body is the living temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is already been made whole. My body has the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in me. My body is the body of Christ. My body is joined with Jesus. My body is the Lord's body, and today I declare over your body, my mind, your mind, today is a day of victory. Over your finances, victory in Jesus' name. Over your household, victory in Jesus' name. Over your children, victory in Jesus' name. I lift up your daughter, Barbara, right now. Doris's daughter was diagnosed with cancer. I tell you what, this is a spirit. It is a demonic spirit that is attacking people's bodies. Holly, a spirit of infirmity. Today, it is every time you turn around, somebody's got cancer. That is a spiritual attack on people's bodies. When everybody around you seems like is getting cancer, you got to declare, wait a second, devil, that spirit of cancer, you're coming down in the name of Jesus. They will live and not die. I declare right now, we're not losing another soul because of cancer. I know that that's pretty bold, but we got to get some boldness going on in Jesus' name. Well, what if it doesn't happen? But what if it does happen? I'd rather be on that side than on this side. I'm tired of being on this side, but what if it doesn't happen if I pray? Well, what if it does? What if I, you know what good is it to go to church so you can hear the word of the Lord and be encouraged to say, you know what, I know somebody with cancer and I can encourage them because my pastor said we made a declaration in church on Sunday that cancer is bowing its knee. Can anybody say amen? I got the victory. Anybody got the victory? Hallelujah. Turn to Acts 19. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody like how the flow of the service went today? It just flowed, didn't it? So now you're in the Word. It just flowed from worship into the Word. Hallelujah. God is bringing order in the house. That's a Texas house. It's a house. He's bringing order in this house. He's bringing order in your house. May it be your natural house, or maybe it's the spiritual house. I watched today, I tweaked the choir a little bit, and it was phenomenal. They were in one accord. They sung that song with boldness. God said you'd see evidence. Moses, stretch out your staff. He says, you divide the water. Isn't that what he says? You divide the water. You've been given authority and power. You've been given authority and power. You've been given authority and power. He's saying, you do it. Well, God, I need the devil taken care of. God says, take care of the devil. You have more power and authority over the devil. Now, I'm not telling you to taunt him. I'm telling you to speak the word of God and let the word do the work. And the devil is under your feet. Say, I will live and not die. Say, I will live and not die. Say, I'm going to enjoy my life to the fullest. Say, I'm going to enjoy my life to the fullest. Say, when I leave today, I'm leaving with all kinds of joy. I'm leaving encouraged because the Lord has spoken to me. Spoken to me. Say, me. Hallelujah. We're getting it. I feel it. In Acts chapter 19, why it's important to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Breaking bad habits. A lot of times I see people in the church doing what other people do. And I'm saying in general, I did that because that's how I learned. When I went to Austin to start a church, I did what I learned in Dallas before I went to Austin. And I learned from those who had gone before me. I learned from the generation before me. And when I went to Austin, I was in lots of works. And I was copying what I saw them doing, and they had no clue what I was doing. I just did it because other people did it. And I wasn't seeing any results because I didn't understand why they did it. I just did it. And then I began to say, Lord, I'm going to search you out in this. I'm going to begin to work smarter, not harder. And then when I came back to Dallas to become the senior pastor, I said, I'm going to do things different. I'm tired of all this striving. I'm tired of doing this stuff, praying for somebody for 20 or 30 minutes. Oh, it used to wear me out. Whenever they'd have a prayer line, I go, oh. Because I knew it was going to be 20 minutes to 30 minutes per person. I was going to sit in service for probably 2 or 3 hours. And I said, well, Jesus, when I just remember when you said, be healed, they got healed. Jesus didn't sit around talking about, oh, I wonder if they're going to get healed. He told the demon to get out and got out. He didn't argue with the demon. He spoke to it to get out. And so when I came back to Dallas, I said, I'm tired of being worn out. At first, when I was told, I think the Lord is asking you to come back to Dallas, I said, no, that's not me. That's somebody else. Because I was in a season of striving in my strength and trying to do things in my strength and my ability. I was worn out. So when I made a decision, when I go to Dallas, and I made the decision, I'm so thankful I'm in Dallas. I'm so thankful I'm here as the pastor of this church. And I'm going to see this church. We're going to see this church grow. It's time. And it's not going to be growing because we're striving. It's because we're doing unto the Lord, and we're being led of the Lord, and we're getting our act together of the Lord. So when people come in, they can say, they got their act together. I want to be a part of that church. They have something for me here. So I decided I'm going to do it the Lord's way. Woo! Revelation, right? I'm going to do it the Lord's way. Revelation. And when I began to do that, I saw results. And then whenever I start doing it in my strength, I see lack. And then I get back to doing it the Lord's way, I see growth. I see change. Tony Holt, remember that. That's how you see change and breaking bad habits. In Exodus 19, in verse 11, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. So even his handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illness was cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to evoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. I've been there." See, you need to know who you are in Jesus Christ so that you can speak to those forces that come against you, so that you know the power that is inside you, not because of what Pastor Tony does, but by what Jesus said you could do, that power inside you. It goes on to say, it says, seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them. Who? Not the evil spirit himself, but the man who is carrying the evil spirit. You probably know some people that act like they got the evil spirit, don't you? I mean, let's get real. You know, we can blame the evil spirit all day long, and of course he's using that vessel, but the vessel is being used to come against you and to harm you. So it goes on, it says, then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of his house naked and bleeding because they didn't know who they were. But you know who you are. Just write this down. It says Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already obtained it, all this, Paul says, or have already been made perfect. This is Paul talking, who had a closeness with the Spirit of God in writing a lot of the scripture in the Bible. It says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Jesus, when you receive Jesus, I love saying the word Jesus. It was really interesting yesterday because I'd heard all kinds of reports about how the service could go. And so I had that in my mind. And so I was thinking about that. And I got up here to minister and I said, here I go. You're in my church. You're in and I'm saying it's God's church, but I'm the pastor of the church. The only thing I could talk about is Jesus. There's nothing else I could talk about. And I just start talking about Jesus and the prodigal son. And I watch the Spirit of the Lord move in this house and minister to the people. They need Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care who's fighting with who and who believes or who doesn't believe. That's not my job. My job is to deliver the message, to be a light to those around me, to be let the glory be poured out. God can do the rest of the stuff. I can't worry about that stuff. Oh, thank God. I know Jen and Bob and we were in here going, man, this is tough at the beginning, wasn't it? We were praising the Lord and you could feel just this. Whoo. Pastor Bob came down here and he had the breaker anointing on him and he just broke through that stuff. And I said, thank God, Pastor Bob, you're obedient. And it broke through. The Spirit of the Lord lives in you, Rhonda. The Spirit of the Lord lives in you, Josie. The Spirit of the Lord lives in you. Use the Spirit of the Lord, your problem solver. Break through. Not that I've already, and we're going to close with this, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, Paul's talking, but I press on to take hold of that which for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Can you strain with me for a second? Strain like you're reaching ahead. Reaching ahead, forgetting what lies behind. I can't change that stuff. Maybe somebody's getting free right now. You're trying to change your past. You can't change it. It has already happened. But straining ahead, moving ahead, saying, I'm going to let go of this stuff. I'm not going to let this stuff hold me back. That's what Paul is talking about. He's saying, straining ahead. I am pushing through that stuff wants to hold me back, but I've decided to strain ahead. I'm going to move ahead, and I'm going to shake this stuff off. Can anybody say, I'm moving ahead? See, the reason why I ask you these questions so that you will hear yourself and you will strain ahead and let go of that stuff. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. You know what? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you going to heaven? Is anybody going to heaven? Lift up your hands. There should be everybody in this place. You're going to heaven. So on your way to heaven, you are straining ahead that you're looking forward to heaven. But on your way to heaven, you've got the victory. You're shaking that stuff off and saying that stuff isn't going to hold me back anymore. This is a new day. This is a new year. I thank you that Memorial Day has happened. There's always a day. It seems like a point of contact when stuff happens. Like Memorial Day is the unofficial day of summer, the beginning of summer. Labor Day is the unofficial day of ending of summer. And when you hear these things, those are seasons. And I look for the seasons, and I believe Memorial Day has been a season of change. The old things have passed away, and we're straining toward the goal of the prize moving forward. We are seeing a change in our church. There's been a change of guards, a change of season, a fresh wind blowing through. I remember Naomi spoke a word over our church that there would be a fresh wind release that would blow the windows out. I'm not talking about a tornado. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. If you would stand to your feet this morning, hallelujah, breaking bad habits. If you put on some, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You guys did great today, by the way. You did great. You know, I like how you gave instruction. It's Gabby, right? Gabby. Jasmine, okay. Sorry. We have so many different children. Don't be offended. I saw you give the choir instruction. Smile, smile. Smile. Good job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With the music coming on, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Hallelujah. I want to ask this question before we finalize this. If there's anybody here today that you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, or anybody listening to this CD, I want you to understand something. People are listening to these CDs, and they're being uploaded on our website now, so that many people can hear the word of the Lord. If there's anybody here today that you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and today you want to ask Jesus into your heart, if that's you, lift up your hand. Is there anybody? For somebody listening to this, you just feel this tugging in your heart for a relationship with God. You've been discouraged by other churchgoers. And deep down inside you, you desire a relationship with God. And you've heard that Jesus probably doesn't love you because of where you are, what you've done, or maybe who you are. But I want to tell you today, Jesus loves you so much that he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And if you were a mistake or an abomination, don't you think he could have gotten rid of you before you were born? But he had a plan for your life, and he has a plan for your life. And so we as a church are going to pray the prayer of salvation so that you listening to this CD, and I just sense there's somebodies that are in a place to receive this relationship with Jesus. And before we pray, I just want you to know that the only way to the Father is through his Son Jesus, and that he died for you. He wants me to tell you that. He died for you. You were on his mind when he was on the cross. And today, as our church prays, we want you to pray with us to receive Jesus. So if you'll pray with me, say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins. I confess Jesus is your Son. I confess that he rose from the grave. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, my Savior forever. And I confess today I'm saved, I'm born again, and I'm going to heaven. And I want you to make a statement with me today as our church makes a statement. I don't care what other people say. I'm going to heaven because I confess Jesus is Lord today. Amen. Give your Lord a big... Lift up your hands this morning before we leave. God knows your needs. He knows what you're going through. He knew that you needed to hear this message today. I needed the message. I know, Teresa, that's hard to believe. I needed the message. This morning, God is meeting you right where you are. You don't have to come up the aisle, Rhonda. Or Lori. Just lift up hands right now. The Holy Spirit's revealing mysteries of God right now into your spirit, man. He's releasing mysteries right now in your spirit, man. Your spirit right now is joined with the Holy Spirit. You're partnering with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit. He's imparting in you the power of healing, the power of peace, the power of joy. Everything that you have need of is inside you by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord says, the kingdom of heaven is near. It is in your mouth. And as you declare over yourself, I'm going to just take a few minutes. And I'm going to allow you to allow the Holy Spirit to cause you to declare some things. I'm going to have him turn up the music a little bit so that you can shout out those things that you want to declare or say those things out loud that nobody else will hear you but the Holy Spirit. And you're going to put them out in the atmosphere to show the devil you have lost. And I am winning. I've won from this moment on. I have gotten the victory. So just take a minute. Shut up. Turn up the music a little bit more in the house. I'm healed of allergies right now. I'm rich in all ways. Well, our church is growing in numbers. News is traveling like the speed of light. Hallelujah. Our children. A fresh wind. A fresh fire. You see the leaves blowing on the trees, and you can't see the wind. The Holy Spirit says, that's how I move. You may not see me, but I'm moving on your behalf. I'm shaking your circumstances and your situations. I'm blowing all that stuff away. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you. Give God a big clap offering. You may be dismissed. God bless you.
With your